I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. U.S. forces have been risking their lives in Afghanistan for over a decade, and a key part of their mission is putting away the bad guys, the captured enemy fighters. Well, today, Afghan President Hamid Karzai angered the U.S. by releasing 65 of those prisoners. They've been held in the Bagram prison facility, which the U.S. handed over to the Afghan government last year. Karzai insists the men he released are innocent and calls the prison a Taliban-making factory. The Afghan leader told the BBC he first heard that phrase several years ago from a man who'd been released.
On his release, he asked to see me. And when I met with him, he said, "Mr. President, this is not a prison where they take criminals, but this is a prison where they take innocent Afghans and turn them against their own country and government."
The U.S. has strongly condemned Karzai's decision to let those 65 prisoners go, and the Pentagon released a detailed dossier on each detainee. Sarah Chase is a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She lived in Afghanistan for years, working for a nonprofit and as an advisor to the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. So Karzai maintains these men are innocent, but I've seen the dossiers. I don't know if you've seen them that the Pentagon pulled together, but they do seem to have the goods on them. So is this innocent even plausible in your view?
I don't think so. I mean, it's hard to know, obviously, without looking at the evidence oneself. There is always an issue between intelligence and evidence. But given the specificity of the dossier that you're talking about, it seems unlikely that these are simply ordinary farmers who are going about their business all day, every day.
I mean, even Karzai admits that Bagram is a Taliban-making factory. Those are his words, repeating them. Why would he then release the detainees?
That's the more interesting and complicated question. And it really ties into what I've seen as a certain consistency in President Karzai's actions, not his words, but his actions, going back as far as 2002 or 2003. There were times when I was really surprised to see individuals that he had appointed to government positions in particular locales when I knew those appointees had a close background either to the Pakistani intelligence agency or the Taliban themselves in earlier days. So if you look at this pattern, I mean, Karzai himself was incredibly instrumental in getting the Taliban into Afghanistan in the first place in 1994 and ensuring that they would basically be able to walk into Kandahar from across the border in Pakistan where they had first been organized. And I'm not saying that Karzai himself is a, you know, driven ideological conservative Muslim. I am saying that there's a really consistent pattern that he has shown in, let's just say, respecting the objectives of the Pakistani Military Intelligence Agency and its objectives in Afghanistan. And that sounds very counterintuitive, but the pattern of his actions has been pretty clear.
I mean, it also sounds like you're saying that Karzai is more complicit with the Taliban than we realize. Why has this not emerged before?
I think it's just so counterintuitive that it's just very, very hard for Americans to digest. And as I said, it was so shocking to me, some of these appointments that he made and some other advice that he was giving to the international military leadership about where they should deploy forces and this and that, that I started looking into it as far back as 2003. And that's when I discovered this very thick tissue of relationship with the emerging Taliban in early 1994 and his persistent connection to them for several years afterwards.
Sarah Chase, senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Always great to speak with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marco.